What's up, film fans? This is Juan with the Cinema Movie Podcast, letting you know that this episode is sponsored in part by San Marcos Mexican Restaurants, located right here at 2301 Southwest 59th Street in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Give them a call at 405-685-7773 for to-go order, or you can dine in and experience some of the best Mexican food in the metro. Don't forget to mention the Cinema Movie Podcast sent you and get 10% off your entire purchase. And let them know that this is where you heard the ad from. So again, great food and even better customer service. San Marcos Mexican Restaurant. It's the only restaurant of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, punk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me short.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
May the Schwartz be with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
Fans, happy Sunday. Welcome to episode 292. Welcome to Aquaman. And welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined with the cast, the crew, the fellas. Zach, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Mr. J, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about everybody else?
I think we're doing good, man. We're having fun. We're here. New episode. Getting ready to dive into the DC. So great weekend. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. It was a very, very nice day. But some weather is looming, at least in our neck of the woods. So hopefully this week and tomorrow, everybody stays safe wherever you are listening to this at. Listening to us wherever you listen to podcasts, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Music. You can also watch this live on Facebook or Inasawal Productions YouTube channel. Last week, if you guys did not join us, we talked about the Iron Claw on a special WrestleMania Sunday episode. So go back and check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. Or like I said, you can watch it here as well. But guys, I think we're ready
we
to
also
maybe
had a
talk.
Bonus episode where we talked about Bray Wyatt.
I heard it's pretty killer.
What's that?
I heard it's pretty killer.
It was killer. It was a pretty fun episode. We had a lot of people join us. Local independent wrestler Sam Stackhouse joined us. Some guys from Wrestling Tacos podcast joined us, also from this YouTube channel. So Jay, I think it was a pretty fun success. What do you think?
I think it was a blast. I had a blast talking about it. It's just me and you like talking about wrestling in general. So
I also think maybe some more like that is on the horizon, especially some bonus stuff throughout the middle of the week. If you guys want to find out where some of our links are to those episodes, you guys can find the links at all of our Facebook pages, facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, the Instagram / Cinnamon Movie Podcast, the X is at cinnamon405, and then the email is cinemen921@gmail.com. We're 3 weeks away from a live on location podcast at Rodeo Cinema. It's not directly at Rodeo Cinema. It is at a sister location. It's at Film Row, and it is right here in the Bricktown local Oklahoma City area. I will have the address before we leave here, but it's at Film Row. And it looks like it's going to be a fun time. So come out, check us out. You can watch the screening of Night of the Living Dead. And then you can hang out and listen to us review, talk about the movie, talk about the theater that we were in, and talk about maybe some other projects. We're going to probably try to do something with them once a month. So this is a big episode. The last time we were there, Zach, I think it was August of 2022. We talked about the Oscar winning picture, Everything Everywhere All at Once. So
yep.
That should be fun. But for now, guys, but let's get into some recent watches or recommendations. Jay, you will start with you if you had anything that you want to recommend to us.
All right. I watched, I'm watching Modern Family right now. I finished The Office, so I started Modern Family. That's about all I have watched besides our movie we're talking about today.
Modern Family. That's a, you know, that's an episode that just sneaks up on you. You forget how good it is and how long and lengthy it went. That was a show that had a proper ending though, right? They didn't like cancel it.
No, they had a proper ending.
Yes. I'll wrap it up.
Ed O'Neill, he seems to do pretty well with shows that go 11 seasons apiece, because Married with Children went 11 seasons and Modern Family went 11 seasons.
That's insane that those shows went 11 seasons. And you, yeah. I'll kind of rapid fire through mine. I think last week when we finished up The Iron Claw, I was on vacation, so I had a little time to do some extra watching. I went through Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel. I rewatched Friday. We kind of had a conversation about it last week. Made me want to reamp, and I watched that along with Next Friday and Friday After Next. I checked out The Fan, which is a Robert De Niro movie and Wesley Snipes, directed by, I think, Tony Scott. Which it definitely feels like a Tony Scott movie, but I was like, really? Tony Scott did this? I finally got to watch the two movies that were nominated for Best Picture that I haven't seen. The Zone of Interest, which is on HBO Max, and then Anatomy of a Fall, which is on Hulu. Out of those two, I would say The Zone of Interest is a little bit better, just because it's only like an hour and 50 minutes, and Anatomy of a Fall is like 2.5 hours. If I had to, also check out Ferrari. And then I'm sure we'll get into it, Zach. We both went and seen Civil War this past weekend. But The Zone of Interest is disgustingly good just because of the subject matter, the sounds, the sights. So if you guys have HBO Max, I would definitely check out The Zone of Interest. There's a lot of subtitles you got to read, but it's very, very good. And then I checked out Aquaman 1, 2, and the original theatrical cut of Justice League. So, Zach, what about you? I'm sure we can talk a little Civil War without spoiling it.
Yeah, like Johnny said, we went and saw Civil War. I walked out and I asked you, like, what'd you think about it? And you said you liked it. I said, I liked it too. I just felt like it was missing something. It didn't feel, you know, how we always like to say it has A24 vibes. This one really did. Maybe with the exception of the cinematography, you have really four good performances, two great performances with Kirsten Dunst and Callie Spaney. But overall, I guess my thing with it is I thought there'd be a little bit more action than what there was. So what do you think?
I think this is one of those movies to where they're finally going out on their big budget venture. So I didn't expect it to have A24 vibes or just that independent feel, and it definitely doesn't. So I think it was headed in the right direction. You know, this, and we're about to get into it today about movie studios not letting people put their dream up on the screen. So I think this was a good direction for A24 to do some big budget films. So I liked it. I actually am either going to try to go see it again later today or maybe tomorrow, just because it is one of those movies that I think it has to be seen on a big screen in order for you to get that kind of feel for it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been different reviews out there. My personal opinion, I don't think it really takes a side just because of everything that's going on in the world today. I think it's very neutral. It just follows a group of journalists that's trying to get to DC. And to me, I don't think there was a political agenda, in my opinion. So
until you get to the scene with Jesse Plemons.
True. Yeah, that's true.
So
if you've seen the trailer, if you've seen the trailer, you know what scene we're talking about.
Where they're saying that we're Americans, but what kind of Americans are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I recommend it. I think it should be seen on the big screen. It's also pace worthy. It's only like an hour and 49 minutes. After the credits, it's just like an hour and 40. So,
yeah,
definitely a good film to go check out on the big screen. But those are recent recommendations. But what else did you check? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Checked out The First Omen, Monkey Man, watched True Lies for next week. And I literally just got back a couple hours ago from going to see Chicago at the Civic Center. So.
Oh, nice. How long was that?
It's a Broadway show, so it was like 2.5 hours. But it was interesting. I had seen the movie a while back, which I'm gonna rewatch after seeing the show just to compare and contrast. But yeah, it was a fun experience.
The First Omen is getting like a lot of good reviews. What did you get from it?
I didn't think it was as scary as people are making out to be, but it's like very like horrifically disturbing in some parts. And you don't need to see, obviously it's a prequel. It leads directly into the original, like when the first one came out, like 60s, 70s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
70s, it literally goes right into it. So it's kind of a cool, like Rogue One goes into New Hope. It's kind of like that.
Oh, damn.
So.
Nice. So what would you recommend then? Anything?
Get ready for next week's episode, True Lies. If you ever get a chance to see Chicago, I definitely would check it out. If you like jazz music and that type of stuff. Probably those two, main two. And go see Civil War. Send us some emails of what you thought about the movie if you get a chance to see it.
A lot of episodes have spawned upon recent watches and recommendations too. So if anybody else wants to recommend anything, by all means, send in those DMs, those messages, those comments on the social media, those emails. But sit back and listen to us talk, debate, and hopefully we don't piss anybody off when we talk our top 5 Zack Snyder DC movies.
Too late.
All right, guys, top 5 Zack Snyder DC movies.
Movies.
Yeah, that's a whole nother fun show.
Number one would be Cheetos. I'll just go ahead and say that.
I'm a little curious to see everybody's list. I don't have any honorable mentions. Does anybody else?
I don't.
I just have one. The first Shazam from 2019. I thought it was a fun. That really could have been a throwaway movie, but I thought it was just a fun action comedy. So I thought Zachary Levi did really good in that. So
I completely forgot about that one.
I was going to, but I will start us off with number 5. I'm going to talk 2016's Suicide Squad. I know a lot of people, you know, for the mess that it was, Zack Snyder didn't have his entire paw print on it, but he had just a little dash of how dark he wanted this whole universe to be. And I think the hiring of David Ayer was a good choice. But again, when studios get involved, and you guys can even take a look from the very first teaser trailer at how dark it was to the final trailer, it was just night and day. But like I said, I had fun with it. The score, the soundtrack was amazing. The cameos from Ben Affleck, A lot of people had issues with the Joker. I'm like, it is what it is. For the David Ayer type of gangster, I can see how he fit. So yeah, that's my number five. Jay, let's start with you. What's your number five?
Wonder Woman. First Wonder Woman. Thought it was pretty decent till the ending.
Yep.
A big CGI battle, but that wasn't needed. But all in all, it was a good movie.
We'll touch some more on that one. Zach, what about you? What's your number five?
I'll just go ahead and give my opinion on that one as well. Number five is Wonder Woman. I think three things that really helped that movie was A, Patty Jenkins' direction, and then the chemistry between Gal Gadot and Chris Pine. Like you said, Jay, it really becomes, you know, giant CGI DC battle at the end. It's just like, oh man, we were doing so good. What happened? But I really like how they said it during World War I. It wasn't like a modern day story. It was, it had all the right ingredients, and it was a great experience.
Well, they didn't want it to be Captain America all over again, because usually it was set in World War II, but they set it in World War I so they could differentiate it from Captain America.
Makes
sense.
That goes straight into my number four, because my number four is Wonder Woman. And I'll tell you about the ending. It's frustrating because, again, you know, Snyder was already on his way out the door, and the studio took over and said, hey, we needed that final battle. We need that. And you know, the movie was rushed. Production was rushed. That just made everything not work. So for the film that it was, believe me, it was a fun movie, made a lot of money, but again, we all already three agree that the ending to that movie was just not needed. So, my number four is Wonder Woman.
All right, my number four is the Suicide Squad. Not the 2016 version, but the James Gunn Suicide Squad. I know that's not a part of the, you know, we've talked about this earlier, that, you know, it's a part of the Zack Snyder DC universe, but it could actually go into the James Gunn later on. We never know. He said he might add it to it.
And, I mean, some of those characters and actors from Snyderverse was in there, so, you know.
Yeah.
By all means.
I thought the villain was pretty cool. Starro, a big giant star.
Yeah.
It had Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, but it was so much more than that, I thought. Each character got their moments. Harley stood out the most. I don't know. Peacemaker is pretty cool.
Yeah, and that whole like Peacemaker thing about, you know, if anything came out of this series, it's that a new character was not only developed, but hey, you know, he also got his own show. And then if that's the last time we see, technically, if that's the last time we see Harley Quinn, you know, she was sent off with Salute. So who knows what everything's is in store for those characters, at least.
Yeah.
Zach, number four?
Number four, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I get why people don't like this movie. I get the complaints of it. Me personally, I think it worked. I know a lot of people were so pissed off about the Martha thing. But I think if you hear what Zack Snyder has to say about that, it truly was a human moment between those two characters, and not just, oh, both of our moms are named Martha. No, I think, you know, I don't know why you would think that, but it does have issues. I think the extended cut is a little bit more better than theatrical. I didn't think we needed to bring Wonder Woman into this. I think this really could have just been a Superman Batman movie. And that weird scene of like Wonder Woman looking at all the different profiles of the Justice League. It's like, okay, now that's really just, you're pushing so much into this movie. It's just like, you don't need that. We know it's leading up to what it is. You don't have to spoon feed us. But other than that,
Lex Luthor gave everybody their logos. Pay attention to that.
Yeah. And that, yeah. I think if Zack Snyder was given the full reins and was able to do what he was, it is a good lead into Zack Snyder's Justice League. But the theatrical cut is so choppy that, you know, when they finally bring up Darkseid at the end, you're just like, who the hell is that? So
that leads into my number three. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. But I'll disagree with you just a little bit. I do think the Ultimate Edition is night and day difference. The nightmare sequence, yeah, those are more explained in the Zack Snyder Justice League movie. But like, I think the Ultimate Edition plays very well into a very good prequel in the Zack Snyder's Justice League. I agree with you. Again, we're going to be talking about this all episode. It could have been a completely different movie if it wasn't touched by Warner Brothers' heads, and you know, he didn't get rushed for any of this. And it's kind of sad to know that he was already putting his foot some way out the door when this movie was in post-production. Again, not his fault.
Well, and something else I think I appreciate is that, you know, for a movie to be called Batman v Superman, you're expecting just a brawl, and the brawl is only 2 minutes, like maybe three at the most.
I read somewhere that this movie was supposed to be like 3.5 hours, and they were supposed to have two huge fight scenes, to where the first fight scene they almost literally kill each other, and then the third fight scene being with the armored bat suit. But man, just imagining what we could have got out of a Batman versus Superman movie would have just been a complete, you know, just would have been like, again, I'm not complaining on it though, because how long have we always waited for Batman and Superman to be live action right on the screen?
Yeah.
But a Batman v Superman movie should have at least been $1 billion movie. That movie didn't come close to making $1 billion.
No. Nope. I think it made like $800 million. And you're right, Jay. For a movie to say Batman versus Superman, that should be an easy $1 billion idea.
And, well, so. I don't even think they didn't even do test screenings for this movie.
Yeah.
But, which is.
We'll get into it. Yeah.
That's my number three. There's some good spots in it. Oh, yeah, for sure. What about you, Jay? What's number three for you?
I might be considered cheating here, but I'm going to go with the Peacemaker TV show. That was heads and above everything else that DC has pretty much done. It had the laughs. It had the action. John Cena was perfect in it. So, anybody else see it?
I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a nice, fun introduction to the Peacemaker. I like how it picked up right after the Suicide Squad. I kind of wish a little bit more production value was into his suit, maybe. I don't know if that's just like it was meant to be that way, but I kind of just felt like, you know, looking at his suit and some of the action scenes, it just felt like it was definitely a made-for-TV episode. I don't know if that makes any sense. Did you like the way his suit was portrayed?
I liked it. It reminded me of the comics a lot. So it was comic accurate.
I'm not going to watch it, but just one of the best things about the DCEU is Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. Is she in the show, like as a cameo or whatever?
She's a very big part of the show.
Okay.
It's worth a shot, Zach. I mean, it's not very long. I think you would enjoy it.
It's only, what, 6-8 episodes or something like that?
Yeah. 8, I believe.
Yeah. Zach, number three?
Well, I guess we're just going to bounce all over the place. Bouncing off of Jay's is The Suicide Squad for me, James Gunn's movie. I agree. This is like a more hard, which I know it's more than that, but it's just a hardcore R-rated version of Guardians of the Galaxy. But I really enjoyed it. I love the new additions of Idris Elba, John Cena. I forget the girl who plays Ratcatcher, and Shark King as Stallone. That's a great bit. It's cool to see Margot Robbie come back as Harley Quinn. It, like you said, in a very awesome send-off and a great villain. And it is just the fact that you bring back the kind of some of the original from that David Ayer movie and just, spoiler alert, immediately kill them off in like the first like 15 minutes. That was great. It was fun. James Gunn knew exactly what this is. It is, I don't want to say tropey, but it's just his formula of how to bring like a bunch of characters together and put a cinema on a journey. So.
Number two for me is Man of Steel. I think this was a great introduction into this kind of universe. It was dark. It wasn't too dark. I just Man, Henry Cavill as Superman for me is just like, I think that's where everything just started going sour. It was like, man, you're getting rid of him. You're not giving him what he wants. But Man of Steel was just so much fun. It just felt like an alien sci-fi movie at times as well. Man, the characters, the actors, the score, bringing in Hans Zimmer to do the score. The suit was amazing. I loved everything about Man of Steel. I know some people had issues with it, but definitely in the right direction the way Zack Snyder wanted. So Man of Steel for me is number two. Jay?
I'm going to stick with that. No, mine is Man of Steel as well. You know, it was a good alien story. Like, what if there was alien among us, you know, that side of this tale. You know, that was a different take on the Superman gimmick.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. You know, people complain about there being a lot of destruction, but Batman v Superman answered that question of what the hell happened. You know, why, you know, it was all that damage, collateral damage. So they had to put it in Batman v Superman to answer the fans' questions. Like, what the hell, man? You just killed everybody in Metropolis.
Well, and you know, if you think about it logically, you're talking about two gods fighting each other in a city. You know, you honestly think there wasn't going to be any buildings toppled over?
Oh, I didn't find the ending to be that bad. I was sitting there like, holy shit, they're finally doing it. They're finally going to show us what a real battle between two Supermen it's like.
I love the ending of Man of Steel, especially when he had to scream and break his neck.
Yeah.
I think
a lot of people are pissed off about that because, you know, Superman doesn't kill. And to me, it's just like, this is a different version. It's not Superman saving a cat from a tree. You know, this is a dark, edgier version of the character.
Yeah.
Well, he was given the option of, you know, killing Zod or those people being murdered by Zod. So he took out the last of the Kryptonians just so that way we could be safe.
Yep.
And that's what Superman's all about.
Yep.
Making the tough decisions.
Zach?
Yep.
Number two?
Number two, a film that, to be honest, I really didn't think that was going to happen. But, you know, the internet talks and the internet makes decisions. Number two is Zack Snyder's Justice League. 4 hours of uninterrupted his vision of what these characters should be, how they should be, what should happen to them. It was really just a fun, it was a fun experience to see that. I really wish we had seen that on the big screen instead of HBO. It leads directly. I mean, it literally, and to be completely honest, you could actually do this as a prequel or as a sequel to Batman versus Superman, because it just, you know, goes from Superman's death onwards. Every character gets their backstory. Every character gets their moment. Everything just feels more fleshed out, you know. 4 hours, that's a long time for a movie, but, you know, if that's what it needs, if Zack Snyder needed 4 hours to tell the complete story, then by all means, go right ahead. And I think it really paid off.
That's my number one, is Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I think, you know, a lot of people said it didn't exist, that it's not worthy. But when you have Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, and everybody posting about it and hashtagging it, and it finally gets released. Also, I think due to the pandemic, that helped out too. I think seeing his vision and what he wanted to do, if none of it got touched by executives, we would be talking about Justice League 2, Justice League 3, and his overall darkness of what he wanted DCU to be. And it's just, it's fascinating to know what direction he was getting ready to go into, but it's also like super bittersweet because we'll get into this news later about, you know, possibly Netflix purchasing the Snyderverse. If that happens, I'm all for it. We may not get to see it on the big screen, but at least we could see his vision planned out and the next two films be released. So number one for me is the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. Jay, what about you?
That's my number one as well. You know, 4 hours is, it didn't feel like 4 hours. It actually flows pretty well. It's got all the stuff that you were wanting in a Justice League movie, unlike the original Justice League movie that came out, where it was just all over the place. This one had a nice grounded version of it. You know, it still had some plot beats that the the Justice League that was released in theaters had, but this was more fleshed out. This was a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Teardrop.
My number one is Man of Steel. I thought Man of Steel is just, it's, I might get some flack for this, but I think it's a perfect Superman movie. It's a perfect origin. It goes, you get not only the human side of it, but you also get the Krypton side of it, of when he got sent here as a baby. You have a phenomenal cast. Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Russell Crowe, Michael Shannon, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane. It's just, you know, Russell Crowe. And yeah, I said Russell Crowe.
Oh, no, sorry. I'll shut up.
Great action, great origin story. And something I really, really enjoyed about it, just thinking about it, it's its own singular story. It's not trying to set up anything. There are kind of hints about Wayne Corporation in the background, but it's just, it's its own origin story. And I think them kind of bouncing it off the Dark Knight trilogy, which I think this came out like a year after Dark Knight Rises, and still had like the Christopher Nolan thematic tone to it. I think it really, really, that really, really helped it as well.
And the Hans Zimmer score helped a lot too.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was produced by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. We can talk about that. Like, if it wasn't for Christopher Nolan, like Warner Brothers went to Nolan and said, "Hey, do you want to be our going into this whole DC universe?" He was like, "No, I don't want to, but let me show you who probably will do a good job with it." And he sent them over Zack Snyder. So, and you know what? After seeing Watchmen, seeing that tone of a superhero movie, I was all for Zack Snyder and seeing what he would do with like characters like Batman and everything like that. But we'll get a little bit more depth into it. Yeah, it was a fun top five. Zach finished us off with number one. So if anybody else wants to chime in, send us your emails and everything on Facebook, Instagram. And we'll talk about everybody else's top five DC movies. But let's get into why we're here. A lot of people call this a terrible movie, along with some of the other DC movies, but we'll talk about all of them leading up into this one and where everything might have went wrong. Today we're talking about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. It's got a 5.6 on IMDb, a 34% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 2.2 on Letterboxd, and a 42% on Metacritic. The tide is turning. Black Manta seeks revenge on Aquaman for his father's desk. Wielding the Black Trident's power, he becomes a formidable foe to defend Atlantis. Aquaman forges an alliance with his imprisoned brother. They must protect the kingdom together. Directed by James Wan, starring Jason Momoa, Patrick Wilson, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, Randall Park, Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, Dolph Lundgren. With a budget of $210 million, it grossed a little over $434 million at the box office, and it had a release date of December 22nd, 2023. Zach, we'll start with you. Did you check this out in the theater like you do everything else? If not, what was it like after watching it?
Yeah, saw this in the theater, came out Christmas time late last year. Going into this movie, I really wasn't expecting much. And so when I got out, I was just like, you know what? That wasn't as bad as everyone says it was. I kind of had fun with it. It was a very lightheartedness. And, it is what it is. Whatever. We're done. This rewatch, I was like, this is not good. It is actually worse than, I don't know. I just didn't have like, and we'll get into this, but I think because we've just been so conditioned to expect these movies lead into something bigger, into something more, into something to the next sequel or whatever. And the fact that this didn't, and it just, we'll get into it, but I didn't like it on this rewatch.
That's what a universe does. It gets you hyped up for the next thing. I'll just leave it at that. We'll get into it after my first only watch of it. It is what it is. I've seen worse things. I've also seen a lot better things. So, Jay, what about you? A few short words after you've seen it.
Yeah,
Jay there?
Jay, is he on mute?
Jay, are you there?
Technical difficulties, folks.
So until he comes back to the fold, we will kind of get into the story arc of just the film. You know, I rewatched the first one over the week, and in preparation of getting ready for this one, I kind of just, you know, was over the first one. You know, Jason Momoa just, to me, wasn't there, even though the movie made $1 billion. The underwater sequences were terrible in the first one, so I went into this movie with some pretty low expectations. Everybody was like, Aquaman 2. Everybody was like, Amber Heard, blah. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Computer's updating. Go ahead, ask away.
Let's just get the elephant out of the room. Do you think the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing hurt this movie? Or do you think
I don't
hear anything about Amber Heard, and so they did go see it.
I don't think it hurt this movie. Did it hurt the stuff in the box office? Maybe, but it also hurt, like you said, this movie led into nothing. This universe is gone. This universe is dead. And I think that has to do with Birds of Prey not making any money, Shazam 2 not making any money, The Flash not making any money, The Suicide Squad, depending on how people, you know, just because of how good it was, it didn't make any money. So all these five movies that came out after the official release of Zack Snyder and, you know, Humada taking over the DC movies, like, why go see something if you know that the universe is not going to be expanded? Did people know that The Flash was supposed to reset the timeline and he was going to bring in different characters for Humada's new DC? Nobody knew that. And for the average DC fan, or for the average superhero fan, like, this all kind of started back with Batman versus Superman. I mean, I talked about it on the very first episode of this podcast about how, you know, a DC movie can be put out, but unless fans don't go see it, unless fans don't support it, you know, I don't think the Amber Heard situation hurt this movie, because let's face it, she was in the movie, but not for long. And of course I know they went back and cut some stuff out, but she was still in the movie for majority, about 11 minutes.
Like, well, and to me, how much got cut out? I don't know. And to me, it's just like James Wan has gone on record and said Mirror was going to take a step back in this new movie.
Was that before now, the allegations?
Exactly. Is that because of her allegations, or is it because that was the whole plan all along? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. But to me, if you're going to... I think the thing that's just so frustrating about this is just like, this movie was already like in production when everything just hit the fan. Like, Zack Snyder's out. We're kind of slow down on the DCEU.
Let's take a look at the timeline, because Zack Snyder left in 2017, 2018. This movie was in pre-production far before, you know, way after he left. This was supposed to be Mata's and James Wan's new version of Aquaman going into, you know, let's say Wonder Woman 3, or let's say Batgirl. Because I think the next, you know, that was supposed to be the new subject matter was Batgirl was supposed to be released, I think, last year as well. So, I mean,
you know, that movie is just the conspiracy fun about that is that, you know, that movie is sitting on a hard drive somewhere. And it will be like leaked eventually.
You think so?
Oh yeah, because it's one of those things where, like, even Michael Keaton, when he was doing press for The Flash, they asked him about it. They said, "Dude, no, it was a good movie. Like, I don't understand what was the deal behind all this."
The executives cut it because that wasn't the direction they wanted to go in. They cut it because they knew they had hired James Gunn and James Gunn was going to take this universe and let him just do a soft reboot, with the exception of that, and that's the exception of Henry Cavill coming back. Supposedly, you know, The Rock wanted Dwayne Johnson wanted Henry Cavill to come back and be a Black Adam versus Superman, when yep. the original idea was Shazam versus Black Adam. I think there was some beef there between Zachary Levi and Dwayne Johnson, and Dwayne Johnson said, if you want to make money, bring back Henry Cavill and let's have Black Adam versus Superman. And then The Rock had issues with Hamada. Out goes The Rock. Humada also says, no, we're going to go in this direction and just do a slight reboot after The Flash. So I think the reason Aquaman 2 didn't make any money was just because there's no direction on where to go.
Well, and
let's the movie is bad, but the movie is not end all be all terrible. I don't think the movie is a piece of shit.
It's not Madam Web. It's nowhere near that bad, but. And something else that also hinders it, in my opinion, when you go back and look at like the press tour for these actors, like Jason Momoa, they asked him, like, hey, what'd you think about filming this? Eh, it is what it is. It's done. He even knew, like, they already threw in the towel. This is not doing anything. Like, he didn't. When the actors don't care, I feel like the audience doesn't care. And when the audience doesn't care, it's not going to make any money. You know, it's just this vicious cycle thing that it's going to keep going on and on.
I think when DC said bye to Zack Snyder, and when the whole investigation happened with Ray Fisher. about how they were treated during the reshoots for
Josh Whedon,
I think that's when everybody was like, let's just wash our hands of this. This thing is going a direction we don't want to do it. Let's finish up our contractual movies, and just go from there. I think that's why you won't see Henry Cavill come back. I don't think Momoa is going to come back. I don't think Gal Gadot's coming back. So, unfortunately, again, that's not this movie's fault. The movie's choppy because of the Amber Heard stuff. Nobody gives a crap about the ending storyline because of the way the DC is going. But I do think this is a nod, a point and a half better than what I liked about the first one. Some positives about this for me: you get a very charismatic Jason Momoa in this movie. You can definitely tell how he's grown from an actor to just an entertainer from the first movie to this movie. He's way more funnier in this movie. He's more charming. He looks like he's having fun, at least during the movie. And I don't know if a lot of that is due to the fact of how good he was in Fast 10.
Yeah.
But that's a positive for me in this movie, because it did feel like he has just grown so much as an actor from the first one to this one. I mean, the first one was, what, 6 years ago? 7 years ago? That's a long time.
2018, yeah. So, I don't know.
The underwater sequences in this movie were a lot better. It still had some choppiness to the CGI. Jay, we got Jay back.
Sorry, guys, my computer decided to reset.
No, you're good.
I was still listening to you guys on Facebook,
what are your thoughts on it?
I'm bringing up some positivity about the movie, Jay. If you have any positive stuff before we just start ripping it.
I don't have any positive to say really about it.
Okay. And like I said, if you heard what I said, Jay, I don't think this is terrible as Madam Web or anything to that stature. It lacks heart. It goes nowhere. It's essentially just like pointless. I feel like everything is just like we had ideas on a whiteboard, but we can't use any of that. So let's just make stuff up as we go. I felt like.
Do you guys think, and Jay, you said this earlier in like a private message, you said this was like, you said this was the just tone like was all the tone the was all over the place. Do you guys think before the Amber Heard situation, do you think she was supposed to go alongside with Aquaman to take down Black Mantle?
I don't know, but if they were, then it wouldn't have made any difference. like, what I had problems with the movie on was that it felt like it was trying to be two different things. Like, whenever he met up with his brother, it was like a buddy comedy. And there was just hijinks and yuck-yucks going on for the entire thing. And then halfway through the movie, it's like, no, we're going to be serious now. We're not going to make any wisecracks. We're not going to do this now. We're not going to do that. I'm like, tone all over the place. The music. Could they have used an older soundtrack?
That's true. So with it kind of feeling like a buddy comedy, like the tone that the movie was going to, do you think, and obviously that has a lot to do with just the studio trying to be more like a Thor Love and Thunder, maybe. I feel like since, and that's the biggest thing, that's the biggest complaint I have about these DC movies. They're always worried about what everybody else is doing. I kind of, Jay, let's talk wrestling for a minute. I think they're like the AEW. They're so worried about what the WWE is doing. They're not using what they have and what they can build with the people they have.
Yeah, they'll have billion-dollar characters, but none of their movies made $1 billion, which, except like that Man of Steel did.
Besides the first Aquaman made $1 billion.
Okay, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, I think, made $1 billion. Other than that, nobody gave a shit about the DC universe.
And I think it's just the fact that they're so worried about how can they make their characters so much like the MCU that it's not funny. Oh, we have Jason Momoa as a dark, cool Aquaman. Well, in the second one, and even in the first one, and in the Whedon's version of Justice League, let's kind of make him like the Thor. Let's make him goofy looking and kind of funny at the same time.
Well, and to me, it's like you kind of... I felt like it kind of started off on the right foot with like him rescuing the hostages from the cargo ship and playing Born to Be Wild. Like, okay, it's kind of the tone that we're kind of going for. Okay, I could roll with this. But then like two scenes later, you're showing Amber Heard directing the baby's pee into his face. It's like, what?
Oh, like, I had so much trouble with that scene.
Yeah.
It was bad. That was so bad.
He never misses.
Oh.
I agree with you, Zach. I like the way it started with the event, the revenge of Black Manta and the hunt for Atlantis. I thought that was going in the right direction, but then it did kind of just pissing its way off into another direction.
Didn't I hear you guys say while I was off the board that you guys said that the... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I lost track.
What were you going to say? Something about on the board or whatever?
Oh, it was just that the movie's underwater scenes. Didn't I hear you guys say the underwater scenes were hard to see as well? And I agree with that as well. I thought they were really hard to understand and see.
Juan liked it better than the first movie.
I had the opposite feeling. I liked the underwater visuals a lot better. Let's not to mention even you also have Martin Short as the voice cameo.
Oh, God.
he reminded me of the guy from Star Wars Episode One. That guy,
Boss Nass.
Yeah,
that's not something you want to remember when you're watching.
But as far as visually though, like I thought it looked CGI wise and underwater wise, I thought it was a more beautiful movie with the colors and the underwater sequences.
Well, I noticed what he did with this one was that he showed everything as a grander scope, like Aquaman and them were like a smaller, like they were small in the middle of the screen and they were filled around them with the ocean and everything, I guess, to show that, you know, look how vast this ocean really is.
Yeah.
Or this set piece really is.
You know, I don't really blame anyone being in this movie. Nicole Kidman, Dolph Lundgren, you know, they made $1 million and they worked for a week. You know, I can't
everybody,
be mad about that.
Everybody came back though. So it's like, I mean,
well, not William Dafoe. They killed him off. Like, no, I'm good. I'm doing four things. You can just kill me off screen.
I don't know, man. I mean, his character wasn't important or really good anyway in the first movie.
No.
Volko, wasn't that his name?
I don't even know.
Every time we talk DC, we've done it with all the movies we've covered. I do think the villain is really good. I do like Abdul Black Mateen Manta. as Black Manta. I liked the direction he was going. Anytime he was on the screen, just his voice, just like in Candyman, like when we talked about Candyman, anytime he's on screen, that voice, and he just makes you pay attention to what he's doing.
Yeah.
Anybody else like him in this movie? Was he
pretty good. I just knew that he wouldn't be the main villain near the end. He'd get taken out somehow, some way, and I was like, oh, man, they're just using him as bait, clickbait. He's not the real villain of this movie.
Would you, and that's another thing I kind of disliked about it, too, was the whole possession thing at the end.
They had to give Black Manta the exact powers as Aquaman, or it wouldn't have been much of a fight, but that's the route they had to go, is making him gather this lost power.
And I don't know if they did this to really, like, be ha-ha or funny, but, you know, Jason Momoa is not really the stereotypical version of Aquaman that everybody knows in the comics or some of the TV shows, but Patrick Wilson, on the other hand, kind of is, with the charming good looks and the blonde hair. You guys think that was kind of like a funny nod, like, hey, let's make the brother look just like the Aquaman from the comics? Or do you think it was just like,
I think that's by coincidence?
I think so too. They're not that bright,
man. Let's talk about Patrick Wilson for a minute. You also have some like funny one-liners between the two, like Jay, how you said it was kind of like a buddy cop movie sometimes. Did you guys like any of the funny jokes or the one-liners that tried to, you know, when he went to go rescue his brother, he was like, come on, Castaway, don't forget Wilson, stuff like that.
Some of it was all right, but some of it was just like, man, they're really trying to be Marvel here, because there's a joke where this Momoa calls him Loki. It's like, what the hell? It's like, are you really trying to compare yourself to the Thor movies? No, you're not that. You'll never be that.
No, exactly.
You won't even be Thor, Love, and Thunder.
They tried, though. And again, it's one that's where this whole universe just always came into, you know, the execs were so just worried about trying to become Marvel, trying to beat them at that game. Yeah. Like, by the time Man of Steel came out, you already had Iron Man 3 in the works, right? Iron Man 3 was already getting ready to come out.
Iron Man 3, it was that same year, the month before.
So why try to be something that they're already like 5 years ahead of you?
Well, that's the thing that a lot of people didn't get or hated that Warner Brothers did, was that Marvel sat there and had individual movies for their characters, and then they went with the team-up movie. You know, the DC universe did not do that whatsoever. They had Man of Steel, and then they went right into Batman v Superman. You know, why didn't we have a Batman movie first, a Wonder Woman movie first, Flash movie?
Going and let's talk about Zack Snyder's vision. Zack Snyder only wanted to do 5 DC movies. He only wanted to do Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Justice League, Justice League 2, and I think the third Justice League was going to be Apocalypse. That's all he wanted to do. And then if anybody else wanted to pick up the single superhero films after that, that's fine. But they were so worried about being Marvel, they rushed all those individual movies, and they didn't want him to do any of his 4-hour Justice League movies.
Well, do you guys remember the same year when Batman vs. Superman came out? It was originally released. It was going to be released on the same day as Captain America Civil War. And it was that going to be that big battle of like, well, let's just see who's going to be the better one. And then I think one of the other Marvel movies came out, and they immediately like pushed Batman vs. Superman up 2 months.
And they had nothing to compete with.
No.
Because the first Captain America was pretty decent, but it was the second and third Captain America that were beyond, they were mind-blowing. They were really, really good. They were political thrillers.
Yep. They went past the superhero genre and said, hey, let's do a Captain America movie, but we're going to do it as a 1970s political thriller. That's cool. That's awesome. You know, and to me, it goes back to our same argument. Marvel gave the Russo brothers full rights, essentially, to do Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. And I think each one of those movies made $1 billion.
And there's a lot of people like, you know, saying, well, maybe Zack Snyder should learn how to do a movie that's not 3 hours. And like, yeah, I mean, that could be true. But also at the end of the day, like, if he has a vision, you know, we don't know how hard he was maybe to work with or how creative a Jay, we talked about it with the whole Bray Wyatt thing. You know, maybe some of his ideas weren't great, but you still have to kind of let him go out there and see. And if his version of Batman versus Superman was 3 hours and 20 minutes, and there's a reason why he wanted it to compete with Civil War in May of 2016, let the man try to do it, you know. But no, they took it, they chopped it up, and they put it out in March, and it made no money. So,
well, what I thought was cool that they were leading up in the Justice League movie with Superman being the villain. I thought that would have been a nice approach. That would have been a different approach. We got a small taste of it in the Justice League Snyder Cut and the Justice League movie. But I think seeing him just completely lose control because he lost Lois would have been fucking amazing.
Yep.
You know?
And I think eventually he was supposed to kill Batman in the third Justice League movie. Because I think they were going that whole route where they found out that the baby was Bruce's, and Superman not only lost Lois Lane, but also lost the unborn child. Mm. Anyway, that's just like, again, mind-boggling, that stuff that's so dark in comic books hasn't brought into film. But and
it would have been a bad thing to have Bruce Wayne as the daddy. I'm sorry, that would have been just horrible.
I think the biggest crime of this DCEU is not letting Ben Affleck do his Batman movie. Because I think it would have been freaking killer. I think Robert Pattinson's Batman is awesome, but what he had planned for his singular Batman movie, I was like, it was going to be like a prison escape movie, like an Arkham or something like that.
It's supposed to be like one of the video games, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was,
like Arkham Asylum.
It was supposed to be him versus Deathstroke. Because at the end of the end of Justice League, Lex Luthor tells Deathstroke, you know, that, hey, that Bruce Wayne is Batman. And he's like, really?
But I think Ben Affleck was smart. Well, he had his own personal demons going on, whatever. But I think he was smart.
He had a lot of alcohol trouble.
Yeah. But he also was just like, you know what? You guys are not going to let me do what I want. So, you know, I'll do these movies, but essentially I'm out. I think he was actually supposed to be, he filmed something for this Aquaman movie, but they cut it out. It's like, oh, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, he had something filmed for the Aquaman movie. Michael Keaton had something filmed, I think, also for the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, something filmed for the Flash for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And we can talk about that, like the whole vision of the Flash being to where they kind of do like a soft reboot to where Bruce Wayne, Michael Keaton is that universe's Bruce Wayne. Ben Affleck's Batman is lost in the time warp zone, and. I mean, whether that has a lot to do with what Ezra Miller was going through or not, like now we are stuck with the Snyderverse being just a hashtag, the Humata DC now that he's out. And Jay, I'll bring this to your, I kind of talked to Zach about this for a little bit, but like Walter Humata, who wanted Zack Snyder out to begin with and was against dark R-rated DC movies, and you know, thanks for now with Humata, at least he was into play. We got the Birds of Prey, Shazam, Shazam 2, the Suicide Squad, the Flash, and Aquaman 2. He's now out. He left the company. He's no longer with the Warner Brothers, but he's now doing the rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. So I mean, like, that's just hypocritical, I guess. He didn't want to do anything R-rated or dark with Zack Snyder in the DC, but now he's over at Paramount doing like the R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Well, the last Ronin story is a dark story, so it deserves to be rated R.
And he's the same exec who like was treating Ray Fisher and everybody else bad during the Joss Whedon reshoots. And it's like, dude, if he was under investigation for being disgusting and like this with people, how do these people just go up and get another executive job at Paramount? Like, how does that happen?
They fell upwards, sir. They always fell upwards. But from what I've always read was that the Flash movie wasn't even supposed to be like the Flash movie we got. It was supposed to be a buddy movie. It was supposed to be Cyborg and the Flash going on a mission together. That was what the whole movie was supposed to be about. But that got changed because reasons.
I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm just looking at the DCE movies that since we got since Man of Steel. The last one I actually thoroughly enjoyed was the Suicide Squad, and that was probably 3 years ago this year. I didn't like Black Adam. Shazam, the Fury of the Gods was fine. The Flash, Jay, I know you really like that movie. It goes down in quality the more I think about it. I didn't like Blue Beetle and Aquaman's and Last Kingdom. That's the finale.
Blue Beetle is on that James Gunn kind of reboot.
Supposedly.
He didn't have nothing to do with the movie, but he did say that could be the only actor and universe that he brings into his area.
I agree with Zach. I didn't think it was very good.
It wasn't very good for what it was. If you go and just watch it for a family, heart-wrenching Hispanic movie, it's perfect. But if you go into it thinking DC guns a-blazing, I want this next to Batman, I don't think you're going to like it. Let's talk Black Adam. We reviewed and discussed the movie last year. We don't have to talk about that movie, but we can talk about the what ifs as far as the whole Henry Cavill cameo scene. You know, I read that there's a lot of people who disheart what Warner Brothers did, signing on Henry Cavill and announcing he's back as Superman.
Exactly. They jumped the gun. They told everyone, they set up that end stinger of Henry Cavill's back as Superman. And really, from what I understand in the interviews that Henry Cavill's done, they didn't even ask him if he wanted to come back as Superman.
Well, he did have that Twitter video that he released as well, like 2 months after the movie came out, or 2 weeks, you know, he said that he is back. And then literally like the next day or two, Warner Brothers announces,
said no.
Yeah.
So
overall, go ahead.
We'll get to see how well that the James Gunn does next year. So
yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Superman Legacy is already filming. So
what do you guys want to see from James Gunn's DC and from Superman Legacy?
Something hopeful, you know, because Superman was a little dour. You know, he was a little, he just didn't emit hope like he did in the Christopher Reeves movie. It's just, he just seemed like a black hole of hope. I don't know.
Because you have David Cornsweet as Superman. Nicholas Holt is going to be Lex Luthor. And it's, Lois. You know, Lois is Rachel Brosnahan.
I don't know. To me, I enjoyed kind of the darker Superman, the whole, like I said, the Superman saving the cat out of the tree. It doesn't work in today's world. It just doesn't, you know, a lot of people find that kind of cringy and just kind of goofy, even though that is how the character's represented in comics and stuff. The whole dark tone of like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. Am I a threat to human nature, to human society? Do I just need to go back to find some planet? I like that. That's interesting mythology for Superman.
It definitely does look like we're going to get a lighthearted version, maybe, especially with James Gunn directing.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that's what we're getting is the Christopher Reeve version again.
With a lot of jokes and a lot of, you know, how James Gunn likes to go heavy on the music and the tone.
Yeah. The Superman Legacy mixtape. Yep. All right. Yep.
Hey.
Everybody deserves a mixtape
at Superman.
Yeah.
That's true. And who knows? I mean, we're probably jumping the gun already enough too much. Oh. But
yeah,
wow. Who knows? See,
that's just what we'll have in the new Superman movie. Jumping the gun. And they'll just look at the screen like, ha 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 ha.
I just have one more thing. What do you guys think of James Gunn as a director? I'm not James Gunn. James Wan as a director. He's primarily horror, like, you know, Saw.
He's just Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah,
true.
He did that Death Sentence movie. I feel like he's a capable director, but he works better in the horror genre than action and this type of stuff.
I mean, you can't really say too much on it. I mean, he only did Furious 7 and the two Aquaman movies, so one's a billion-dollar movie, the other one's a franchise lead, and then the other one is just a poor sequel that he had no control over. So
actually, I think $2 billion movies, because I think Furious 7 is a $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
In fact, so, it is, yeah.
So, like, I don't think you can judge that much on action movies, but James Wan is, I think he's today's version of what you want in a horror director. I think he can turn maybe a shit story and turn it into something watchable and worthy. I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he does next. I think he's doing another Conjuring movie, isn't he? Is he coming back for the fourth one?
I don't think so. I think he's just a producer on it.
Because I know there's a lot of talk about how bad the third one was, that they just needed him to come back for the next one. But Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is not, I don't think you can put any fault on that for him. So, what about the ending? You know, you kind of got a good little ending for Aquaman. Black Mantis died. Aquaman did the right thing, tried to bend down and save him. I think the bittersweet thing about the ending is, even the whole "I am Aquaman," I was like, really? It kind of feels like you're calling tropes back to the first Iron Man movie.
Exactly.
Well, it was even just like the end credit scene was Patrick Wilson eating a cockroach on his hamburger. It was like, really? This is what we're at now? An actor eating a cockroach on a hamburger?
Yeah.
So
it would have been interesting. Cool little... It would have been interesting to see if that was like a little blue beetle. But I think the original mid or post credit scene was
else too, Ben Affleck. And something else too, if you kind of want to get down to nitty gritty, you know, once again, copying Marvel, Atlantis revealing themselves is the same thing as Wakanda revealing themselves as at the end of Black Panther. So I was like, okay.
And
I
even think the reveal on the UN was just kind of hokily done too, as well. It was more of a comedic performance, because it was this, you know, it was that the tone shifted back from a serious thing to, yeah, it was like, now we're going to tell more jokes because we're in front of the UN. I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Overall, are we finally happy to see this chapter of the Snyderverse / DCU come to an end and just on to the next, even though we get about a year and a half of wondering?
I'm glad it's over, but I hate of the possibilities that could have happened with this. Essentially, it's like, there are so many, like, you went left, you could have went right, you did this instead of that. It's just like, you know, I feel like the fans of these movies are the ones that obviously suffer the most. It's just like, dude, you had a good idea. Like, we talked about several different ideas on this. It's just like, I don't know.
You pissed off so many different DC fans in this. You pissed off the Snyderverse fans. You pissed off the original DC fans who probably maybe had hoped that Christopher Nolan's DC was going to be something bright. You pissed off the Humada DC fans who kind of liked probably Wonder Woman 1985 and, you know, Shazam and where that direction was going. So you pissed off those fans. And then you pissed off fans. You pissed off DC fans in general.
Because just like, you know, people that didn't like Man of Steel, just like, oh, we're off to a shitty start for those people that didn't like it. So, and then it just goes downhill from there.
If we would have only knew that Man of Steel was a high point.
That's sad.
Yeah.
What do you guys, we can't sit there and say Joker 2 is going to like do anything, because that's just different universe.
I heard it's a musical.
It is a musical. It is. The budget is also a lot bigger than the first one, so I think right there it's already, not say doomed, but I don't think it's going to make nearly the amount of money that the first one is.
Well, the first one made over a billion dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like the trailer? Did you like the trailer, Jay?
I thought it was pretty decent. It didn't show much, but it showed enough.
Yeah.
I think it's rated R as well. So we'll see how it'll be interesting to see how a musical Joker movie that's rated R will father. And hopefully it's the kind of musical that's going to be like maybe the first like Willy Wonka movie, how it's dark. There's more dialogue than there is music. Or yeah.
I seen somebody compared the way it looks to La La Land.
It's like an R-rated version of La La Land, which yeah. I mean, if they do more of like a them like Harley and Joker dancing to jazz numbers instead of actual musical like numbers, then yeah, that could be cool. Like I could see them doing that.
But we've never had a musical superhero movie.
And I think
what happened.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you remember what happened last time, Johnny? I went and saw it, then you went and saw it. It's like, hey, we got to do it. That was our first bonus episode. It was Joker. So
the Batman 2 getting pushed back way to 2026, though, just has me a little worried. I don't think that DC has been so disappointing with, hey, we struck gold. Let's fuck it up. With that movie now being pushed back another year and a half, I think, or 2 years, I think it's just like, what do they have planned? Dude, the budget for that not even go into fruition anymore. So hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully something just happened, you know.
We have the Penguin this fall, so you're not going to completely without the Batman universe. The Penguin comes out this fall.
Well, I'm just hoping that it's not WB, Warner Brothers messed it up. Maybe Matt Reeves just needs more time to flesh out the story. That is a possibility.
I'm surprised he even got greenlit with a 3-hour dark movie like that.
Yeah.
That's true. That Batman movie didn't even make $1 billion either.
But that's the thing, though. Like, what's the difference between how come Zack Snyder couldn't do his 3 hours, but Matt Reeves could do his dark 3-hour movie. The Batman was good. Don't get me wrong. It was my favorite movie that year. But I'm like, who went wrong in that whole issue? And I just hope Warner Brothers doesn't repeat itself with, that 3-hour movie was fine, but now they're doing reshoots or something.
The Batman made $772.2 million, and Johnny is responsible for half of that. Yeah. He went and saw like 3 times in the opening weekend.
But other than that, guys, let's talk a favorite scene. Does anybody have any kind of favorite scene from Aquaman 2?
I love the baby pissing in his mouth scene. I'm just fucking with you. I hate it.
So terrible. I'll be positive, and I'll say that the opening Born to Be Wild on the cargo ship, I thought, okay, we're off to a good start. And then, we got what we got.
That's rough. Jay, you have a favorite scene, or was that the baby pissing? No,
I don't have a favorite scene.
I did enjoy the reintroduction of Black Mantis and it feeling like it's going to be a revenge tour kind of movie, and like Zach said, the opening as well. So,
yeah, but then you have Randall Park doing like cringy joke, like stupid scientist the entire time. So I'm just like, okay, it doesn't balance out, and so you're just sitting there going, like. Yeah, like Black Manta and Yahya Abdul-Mateen's performance, but then you got Randall Park, and you're just like, oh, just like, can you just kill him and be done with it?
Yep. Jay, we'll start with you. Star rating, 1 out of 5 for Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
I'll go with 2. There's not much more to say about it. It was just a bad movie overall.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, if we were still doing our 1 to 10 ratio, it would have been a 5 out of 10. But for this, since we're doing our 1 out of 5, I'll same with you, Jay. I'll do a 2.
I am gonna give it a 1.5. Other than my 2 favorite scenes, even though there were some positives about how I feel like it looked a little bit better than the first one. Visually wise, it just doesn't go anywhere. And, Jason Momoa can't save it. Nobody can save it. I'm going to give it a 1.5. So
it deserved all those grades that it's got.
Yeah.
R-A-P-D-C-U.
Yeah. So,
when it got with the whimper.
Yeah. Next week, though, Sunday, April 21st, we're going back to 1994, and we're going back to the 90s, and we're going to talk True Lies, directed by James Cameron, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It is a James Cameron movie and an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that has just lost its way, at least in my mind.
Have you watched it yet?
I've not watched it yet. I want to try to watch it twice before next week. It's just one of those movies that kind of lost its way, at least in my mind.
I seen it in theaters in the summer of 94. So
wow.
All right.
I'm excited to talk about that next week.
Just so you guys know, next Sunday is my birthday, so
you're gonna spend it with us?
I will.
Nice. Man,
so we're going to talk about an Arnold movie.
Arnold, Bill Paxton's in it as well. We kind of, you know, kind of Jamie and Zach kind of talking, it kind of felt like it was a Michael Bay movie, but we'll have that discussion next week. So should be fun. And then we'll finish out the month of April with our top five movie theater experiences. That'll be Sunday, April 28th. And then we'll go live on location from Rodeo Cinema. So should be a fun month of April. Night of the Living Dead. So should be fun. But other than that, does anybody else have any final staples that they want to talk about Aquaman, or is it on to True Lies?
It's on to True Lies.
On to True Lies.
All right, guys. On to True Lies next Sunday, 6 p.m., Jay's birthday, on a brand new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. True Lies next week. Have a good week, guys. Thank you.
Later.
Bye.